The scripture reading this morning is from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. John 15, 1 through 5. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to see everyone. Smiling faces. All right. It's always a blessing to be able to be here and worship. Hopefully nothing that we take for granted at times. So, you know, within our lifetime, and it maybe at various times, we may ask ourselves the question, how can I keep from struggling in my spiritual life? Be strong in Christ. Maybe we're wondering how we can be a spiritual leader or even a stronger spiritual leader in our family or in the church. How can we be certain about staying strong in our Christian lives? Jesus provides the answer to those questions in John chapter 15, verse 5, where he says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If we want to remain strong and ultimately victorious in our Christian walk, we must learn to abide in Christ. But what does it mean to abide in Christ? You hear the phrase, what does it mean to abide in Christ? The word abide indicates a permanent state, a continual commitment to something. So if we want to abide in Christ, it means to be loyal to Christ, to be faithful to his commands. If we want to remain strong and be one that follows Christ, our relationship with him needs to be permanent and it needs to be growing. As a Christian, we can do nothing without Christ, but we can do all things through him. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. As Christians, we are dependent on Christ for our spiritual life and any achievements that we might have. So to remain faithful, we need to abide in Christ. Just as the branch must abide in the vine to bear fruit. So this morning, in the short time we have, I just want to look at three key ingredients to our spiritual growth that are important if we want to continue to abide in Christ. First, we need to spend time in God's Word. We must spend time in God's Word. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, Paul's writing to Timothy, and he writes, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which were able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is profitable. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for reproof and for teaching and for reproof, for correction and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. You know, there's many things we can focus on in our lives, and maybe sometimes we do. Maybe things like success, maybe money, maybe even power, being popular. However, these things only lead to a tunnel vision. that make us unable to see what's really important spiritually. And we need to concentrate on God's Word. God gave us His Word to make us better people. And God's Word is profitable. We read that in the text. And it's profitable for teaching what is right, for reproof, addressing what is not right, for correction, how to get right, and training in righteousness, how to stay right. The purpose of God's Word is to make us complete and capable of living the way that He wants us to. But I think if we're honest, we have to realize and we have to admit that spending time in God's Word isn't always easy, is it? We move at such a hectic pace in the world today. I was remembering when I first started with the company that I'm at now, Went into my office. There were no computers, much less laptops, in the company. We wrote out our memos. They were typed up, and we actually mailed them. Through the post office, Well, you fast forward to today, and there's an expectation that you would answer just very complex questions in a text message. In the worst case, you would use email because that actually takes longer to type all that up, right? But if you think about it, if we applied this approach to our spiritual lives and many things today, we may say things to God like, Lord, I'm really busy right now. I've got an appointment. Can you just text that answer to me? You know, taking this approach that would just stymie our relationship with God. If we want to be more like Jesus, we must spend more time with Him. We have to spend more time with Him. You know, our Bible classes, we had one this morning, a great example. They're designed and available to give us the opportunity to spend time in God's Word. And I'm very thankful for those. However, as individual Christians, that's just not enough time for us to spend studying God's Word during the week. In any relationship, we have to spend time for it to be fruitful. And an hour and a half a week is just not enough time. We need to set aside quality time to spend with Jesus and to learn more about Him, His will for us, how He lived for us, the example He provided to us. We simply can't be like Him until we learn what He is like. And this requires us to spend time with Him. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, we're instructed to be diligent, to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. The text says we're to be diligent. In other words, we're to be eager, zealous, making every effort to show ourselves to be approved by God in handling His Word. You know, being skilled in any type of work takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of effort. And if we think about it, I can see folks around this room and this audience that are very skilled. We have woodworkers. We have those that have been dealing with clay and pottery. We have musicians that are very talented. I'm going to venture to guess, and I believe I'm right, you spent more than just an hour a week being that skilled at your craft, right? You spend a lot of time. Similarly, becoming a skilled workman in handling God's Word and handling it accurately, it takes time and it takes effort and it takes patience. You know, just reading a few verses before we go to bed at night or just quickly skimming a couple of chapters won't make us a skilled workman. We must continue to read and study and meditate on God's Word. What does it mean when we read it? How does it apply to me? What am I supposed to do with that Word in my life? And we should do that prayerfully. And God's Word is that eternal fountain, right? No matter how much we learn, there's always more to learn. It never ends. We should be asking ourselves questions Like, what kind of workman am I? Do I know God's Word? Am I able to answer questions about the Bible when I'm asked? Am I living by the standard of God's Word? Or am I overly influenced by the standards of the world? Maybe most importantly, we should ask if we're approved by God. On Judgment Day, meeting His approval will determine our eternal outcome. You know, one of the easiest ways for a doctor when they're examining you to determine if a person is healthy or not is to check their appetite. You know, if someone doesn't have an appetite to eat, it usually is an indication that there's something wrong with them physically. In the same way, when a Christian doesn't have an appetite for the Word of God, it usually means there's something that's not quite right in their spiritual life. It's not quite right. As Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, he says, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. We need to long for God's Word. We need to want to grow and mature. Just like our physical bodies need to be fed to grow, we need to be fed spiritually to grow as well. And regardless of our maturity in the faith, we need to have the appetite of infants in studying God's Word, so that we may grow as a Christian in maturity and ultimately obtain our salvation. Because if we are abiding in the Word, it means we're drawing our ideas and our lifestyle, the way we live, from God's Word. And these changes, they affect our thoughts and our actions and our speech, so that we may live the way that God wants us to. So we need to be spending time in God's Word. Second, we need to spend time in prayer to God. So to abide in Christ means we need to spend regular time with God in prayer. Paul told us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 17, pray without ceasing. We need to be devoted to prayer. And there's other passages that tell us to be devoted to prayer as well. There's Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, where Jesus told a parable to show that at all times we ought to pray and not lose heart. There's passages like Romans chapter 12, 12 that we studied a few weeks ago in our Bible class, and Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, that tell us to be devoted to prayer. As Christians, we need to continually pray to the Lord with thanksgiving, laying our concerns before Him. You know, when we have an understanding of God's presence in our lives and our dependence on Him, it should lead us to a desire to talk to Him regularly. We know the Lord will answer our prayers, and He will work all things together for our spiritual good. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we need to be coming to Him frequently, not sporadically. We can pray at any time and at anywhere. And God doesn't ask us to be eloquent in our prayers. He asks us to be sincere. Prayer should just be that intimate conversation between us and our Heavenly Father. In Luke chapter 18, Luke chapter 18, verse 14, we have one of the most sincere prayers found in Scripture. It reads, but the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That's an effective prayer. That's an effective prayer. He said what he was thinking, and he simply laid it out before the Lord. It's how God wants us to communicate with Him. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, the Hebrew writer says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that may we receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. God wants us to lay our petitions before Him confidently. We don't need to have fears or inhibitions in approaching God. As Christians, we find God's merciful kindness, the forgiveness that we need, which comes through the blood of Christ. We find grace to help in time of need. It's a figure of speech which essentially means we receive the help that we need when we need it. Think of it as just in the nick of time. When the problems seem insurmountable in our lives, God will open the doors we need opened when we need them opened. The Hebrew writer's telling us that we can approach God through Jesus with confidence to receive the mercy we need and the power that we need to continue in our Christianity. And we need to take advantage of that as a Christian. We need to take advantage of that because we rely on God to take care of us. In James chapter 5, verse 16, it's the effective prayer of a righteous man that accomplishes much. So the bottom line is, prayer works. Prayer works. Regular, consistent, sincere prayer that will help us to abide in Christ. And thirdly, we need to spend time with God's people. Yes, and that means we have to spend time together, and you have to spend time with me, and I get to spend time with you, right? God doesn't want us to fly solo through our Christian life, right? If you look at the design of the church, it's clear that's not His intent. We're in it together. He knows that we need each other. Right? We need to draw strength and support from our fellow Christians. And it's one where we love each other. We exhort each other to continue on in our walk. We pray for each other. We serve each other. We forgive each other when we need to. We exist as a family to help each other on the way to heaven. You know, one way we can spend time with each other and build each other up is worship, like we're doing this morning. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25, the Hebrew writer says, "Let us consider how to stimulate," some versions may say stir up, "one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another." The Hebrew writer is telling us we need to contemplate. In other words, we need to think very carefully about how to encourage one another. And we do this by considering each other's circumstances, our strengths, and our weaknesses, so that we can motivate or we can stir up each other to love and good deeds. And in this context, the Hebrew writer is showing us that the way to stimulate and encourage each other to love and good deeds has to do with our attending the assembly. It's being here with the other saints. Attending is for worship and worshiping God. And it's also for our mutual encouragement, our own edification. The thought that the Hebrew writer is intending to express here is the spiritual benefit that occurs when we meet together. And it's the encouragement that comes from assembling together. You can see that in other passages like 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 26 and following. As Christians, for us to effectively encourage each other requires us to get to know each other better. Right? It would be difficult for any of us to know how best to encourage someone if you really don't know them. Right? We have to get out of our seats and out of our areas of comfort to go talk to people, to get to know them better. Excuse me. Spending time with each other during our times of fellowship outside of the worship service enhances our bonds together and one another. And we have that opportunity this evening as well. You know, multiple studies have been conducted. There was actually one from Harvard that began tracking individuals all the way back to 1938. And it shows that close relationships, more than any other factor, are what bring joy to people. As Christians, we understand the joy that comes from a close fellowship with the other saints, right? We should understand that joy. We can also spend time with Christians, getting to know them better while we're working for the Lord. God gave each of us very unique talents and gifts to build up His body, the church. Each one of us has different talents and different abilities. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27, as well as in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 6, Paul uses the illustration of a physical body in describing how the church works together for God's glory and for our spiritual benefit. God's the designer of our physical bodies. He's perfectly designed them to function. And so it is with the church. God has designed it to have different members with different talents, different abilities. And Paul tells us that all members of the church are important. All members of the church are important. We're mutually dependent on each other to get through this life. Each of us should find joy and find appreciation in our ability to help support and to build up the body of Christ. We can be a blessing in the lives of others. We can contribute to the needs of the church. You know, conversely, to the extent any of us fails to work together, the body fails to function as it's designed and as it should operate. And it suffers. It suffers because of that. So to fellowship with our brothers and sister in Christ is just vital to our abiding in Christ. Remember, we are all part of the same vine. We're all part of the same vine. You know, this morning, when we're thinking about these principles and these ingredients, if you will, these principles of abiding in Christ, I encourage you to apply these, to spend more time in God's Word, to spend more time in prayer with God, and to spend more time with God's people. There's no shortcuts to spiritual growth, just like there's no shortcuts to physical growth. Growth as a disciple of Christ is just a day by day by day process. But once we learn to sit at the feet of Jesus like Mary did in Luke chapter 10, we'll start to notice a very dramatic change in the direction of our Christian lives. Instead of struggling in our Christian walk, we'll find ourselves daily becoming more conformed to Jesus' likeness. We'll be growing and maturing, and we will bear lasting fruit. You know, this morning we didn't talk about those who may be studying God's Word and have come to an understanding that they need to put on Christ in baptism. They repented of their sins. They're ready to confess that Jesus be their master and the ruler of their lives going forward. They're ready to be baptized or immersed to walk a newness of life so that they can abide in Christ and continue to grow and receive salvation. And yet there may be others of us in this audience. We're just struggling. Maybe we're struggling spiritually. We've been stumbling along the way. We're looking for ways in which we can grow, and we know that we need to grow. Maybe we're not spending enough time in God's Word. Maybe not spending enough time in prayer to God. Maybe we're not spending enough time with God's people. We're being overly influenced by the world. I just ask, if there's anything we can help you with spiritually, I just ask that you come now as we stand and sing.